or slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for their mom. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one lives gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one leaves gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Why did that die? Okay, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. It is the 20th of March, and we still got a lot of snow on the ground here, and it's bloody cold. All attributed to global warming, of course. So, apparently, here in Kanadistan, we've got a group called here the Islamic Party of Canada, which is on Facebook, and they have all kinds of stories here about people who have become Muslims. A small Mexican town embracing Islam. And just a bunch of stories here. A leading member of Germany's anti-Islamic AfD has resigned after converting to Islam. The guy who was trying to get the call to prayer banned will now be calling for prayer himself. Mark Springer, former neo-Nazi skinhead, reverts to Islam. I'm a middle-aged white Scottish man who converted to Islam without ever meeting a Muslim. Young Muslim convert explains why she ditched Christianity for Islam. Young British Muslim has explained why she decided to ditch Christianity for Islam during a extremely compelling interview. This is a good story here. I grew up hating Islam. This is why I became a Muslim. Paranormal activity investigator reverts to Islam. Everybody's jumping on the Islamic wagon here. This woman here says, I was recruited to destroy Islam, but I became a Muslim. Nevada Air Guard chaplain, I want people to know Islam is not evil. Front National counselor urges French far-right party to convert to Islam. Police investigate anti-Muslim rally outside Toronto mosque as possible hate crime. So they're working on making a party here, and apparently there's one in, I believe, Sweden, who is, or which party is all going to be running in the Swedish elections. Now here's a story here. This is, I wanted to kill Muslims, but then I became one. The journey to Islam of Abram Kingington, who tried to join the British Army three times so that he could kill Muslims, but then after a period of research, he eventually took his Shahada. This is bloody brilliant. So everybody's converting to Islam, I guess, according to this. what does this say here? Wow, really, we don't need your country's issues in ours. You can, to Canada, be a Canadian asshat. You don't like it. Oh, this is a problem. This is, I guess, the radicals bitching about Islam. So you can't say anything bad about Islam. You can say good things about Islam, but you can't say bad things about Islam. Now, the interesting thing about this Islamic Party of Canada is that it would be similar. You know, we don't have the Italian party, we don't have the German party, we don't have the French party, we don't have the English party of Canada. People would look at that as being stupid, being separatist, being everything but cohesive with the other people in the country. So but the Islamic Party seems to set well with the government, the UN, the Pope. But it better not set well with the Canadian people. You know, here we go. The Vatican rejects chosen people claim causing Israel to end its occupation. Now, I'm not big on Israel by any stretch of the imagination, but what we have here is we have a switch out coming. So everything is pro-Islam. Why? Because it's chosen as the new religion by the globalists. And that has to stop, period. End of subject. Now, it's a world of abuse, eh? Here we have some more stuff. screaming insults, pushed chairs, and Traegery watchdog slammed prison official for abusive behavior. It seems pretty much everybody's into abusive behavior now, but, you know, we have teachers and cops being charged for sexual abuse, for pedophilia, same thing with politicians. This so-called country of ours is getting very ill, extremely ill, because we've fallen off the track. I was looking for some interesting stories here. I find it very difficult. I mean, here's a story that just blows me away. Hampstead, which is a town in Quebec, has banned smoking on sidewalks and streets. The town of Hampstead has adopted a smoking bylaw prohibiting people from smoking almost anywhere outdoors, with repeat offenders liable to be fined. Are you ready for this? $1,500. Bylaw 1019 is one of the most restrictive pieces of anti-tobacco legislation in Canada, covering cigarettes as well as marijuana. Town Council voted 5-2 in favor of the bill Monday night. The bylaw prohibits tobacco use on all municipal property, including parks, streets, sidewalks, municipal vehicles, municipal buildings, and the land adjacent to those buildings. Fines range from $250 to $750 for first-time offenders and from $500 to $1,500 for repeat offenders. Residents will still be able to smoke in their backyards, and electronic cigarettes are exempt from the bylaw. Mayor Bill Steinberg, which sounds Steinberg kind of sounds Jewish to me, said federal plans to legalize marijuana push the town to take action. Pot is what got us to thinking about this right now, but it's really for all types of secondhand smoke, he said, when the ban was proposed. Now we have some comments here. Jerry Ferguson says, holy crap, cigarettes smoke outdoors never killed anybody. Who dreams this stuff up? A dump truck could drive by and emit a lot more smoke. Absolutely. Leave the smokers alone, says Edward. Chad says, how ridiculous is this? Well, pretty damn ridiculous, actually. Good luck enforcing it. The government is responsible for this bad habit. They take your money, then a smoker should be allowed to smoke wherever he chooses. Stan says, this for real? Build a wall. And Jeff says, Hampstead, LOL, good luck enforcing this bad boy. Keep on reaching for that rainbow, though. And this is all UN crap. And all of these municipalities are putting this crap in. And we need to stand up to it. Now, I read something last night that the first death caused by a let's see, death caused by so they're coming out with these driverless vehicles now. This is a good question. You know, who is liable for a death caused by a self-driving car? Good question. I don't know. There's a Tesla driver killed while using autopilot, was watching Harry Potter movie in his car, I guess, when he got killed. People are really getting brain dead. You would never in a million years catch me getting into a vehicle, hurtling down the road with nobody in control of it other than a computer. I mean, how dense are people? It's not difficult to drive a car. Now, why would you get into a car that you don't have control of? Makes no sense. But then most of the people walking around don't make any sense anymore. Now, the UN and that have already put up statements saying that, yes, driverless cars and trucks will kill people, but the upside is they expect them to kill less people than cars with drivers in them. So it's okay that these driverless cars are going to be killing people. I mean, you can justify anything with some language. Which so you got this thing. The first study of self-driving car crash rates suggests they are safe. The researchers concluded that the national crash rate of 4.2 accidents per million miles is higher than the crash rate for self-driving cars, which is 3.2 crashes per million miles. The Institute describes these findings as reversing an initial assumption that autonomous cars would have a higher incident rate. So you just take some data, you screw the data to get the answer you want, something like global warming, and then it justifies what they're up to. And you can't justify it. Oh, let's see here. Now we have another study that says that self-driving cars have higher accident rates. I mean, can you just imagine? I mean, the hackers are going to have some fun here. Instead of playing a video game where you crash cars, these people are going to be able to hack these things, make no bones about it. And they're going to have some fun wiping people out. It's going to be like a freaking video game. You're hurtling down the freeway, and then all of a sudden you lose control of the car, or the car gets controlled by somebody else. And they just run your ass into a semi-trailer or something. It's freaking nuts. How be Christopher?
He be good. There was a There was an accident. I don't know. It was on CBC, Communist Broadcasting Network, or corporation. Somebody in Atlanta had died from a self-driving vehicle that ran him over and killed him.
Yeah.
So they were doing studies, and I could bastardize this, but the basis of it is true. They were doing studies and testing these cars. I think it was in Toronto or Oshawa or some area.
Yeah.
And then after this happened, they went, "Oh, we better just hold off for a bit."
Well, it's ludicrous. The only upside might be for me and you, because they took our licenses, right?
Yeah.
So do you need a license to drive a driverless car? I don't know.
You know, forget the popcorn, that's GMO, but we could eat peanuts, watch a movie, and just tell the car to take us where we want to go, and if somebody gets run over in the interim, sorry about your luck.
Well, it's just mind-boggling. So I'm running for, I didn't know about the Islamic Party. I guess that's going to be a national party.
That's who you're running for now?
Well, I'm running for Libertarian Party in Ontario, but I never thought of running for the Islamic Party. I don't speak Arabic or anything, but I guess I could speak English. This really, I mean, I saw this story from Sweden, right? That Sweden has a Islamic party which is running in their election, and then underneath it says your turn's coming, Canada, right? You know, the idea of having a Islamic party, I didn't know there was such a thing as an Islamic party. I thought they just rolled in and took things over. Pull their heads out of their butts a little bit. You know? And I'm not all jacked up over...
Well, they would... To have an Islamic party, that means they assume they're going to get votes in our homeland. So, what's that tell you about the demographics of our nation? Tells me that they're getting stronger, we're getting weaker.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, they know what they want. We seem to have forgotten what we got, and we're not doing anything. You know, the ones that want what they don't have, which is control of a country, will work hard to get what they want, whereas those who already have what they want forget that they have to defend what they have. And that's how you lose things, like your country. So I'm hoping. I was reading some stuff there today, and some data, government data, and I've seen people who have converted to Muslim, and Jesus, if Dave Chappelle's didn't name show up in the list, which kind of depressed me because he's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, he was the white supremacist nigger guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good skit, man. That was good, you know. I'll never forget that skit. That was a good one. I miss Chappelle a little bit, but no, I don't know. I mean, it's really getting quite stupid here. Now, I wish one thing people need to understand. I looked at some stats today, and you know, we're 300 and I don't know how many billion dollars in the whole Ontario is, and we only got like 14 million people. and you do a quick check, and let's see, Ontario debt. What do we got here? Debt. Ontario government debt. $312 billion in 2017. So it's got to be, it's $12 billion a year to just furnish the debt. So that would put us up to $23-24 billion in 2018 if they didn't run any other debt. So, you know, we're rapidly catching up to California's debt times two. In other words, Ontario is almost twice as far in debt as California, but California has 40 million people and Ontario has 14 million people. So we're really, really in the debt hole. But when you sit down and figure it out, and people should be just pissed about this, you know, you say, okay, we got 14 million people, and I looked at the stats, and it's around 7 million people that are actually working. So that puts your portion of the debt in Ontario, if you're a working stiff, you know, some people say, well, I'm not in debt. Want to bet? You know, your personal debt to the government is over $50,000 plus interest. And people should be extremely pissed about that. But they don't seem to notice it. You know, I see the NDP come out with their platform, which is basically free everything. You know, if you borrowed money, go to school, well, you don't have to pay it back. We'll just call it a grant instead of a loan. Free dental care for everybody. Free this, free that, free everything. And what are you going to pay with it? You know, you're $320 billion in the hole, basically. Where are you getting the money from? You know, where are we getting this money for all this light rail transit? You know, our hospitals are falling apart. Schools are a disaster. And all these government people just want to keep giving you more stuff. And you want to keep taking the more stuff. And apparently the people in Ontario don't know what $320 billion in the hole means. Now, when they raise that rate, which they're going to do, when they get the province and the people in the province deep enough in debt with these low interest rates they've been running on, and they crack that rate, doesn't have to go that high. If it was to hit 8%, there would be a massive implosion going on, and it wouldn't be caused by CO2. Because somewhere down the road, these rates are going to rise when they get us in the most vulnerable position. And then everything's going to get sold off. And we're going to be sitting here left holding a debt and owning nothing. And then people are going to whine and bitch and complain. And then the government's going to put them on the guaranteed income, of which you don't have to do anything. Just sit in front of the TV all day and watch the TV. No problemo. What a great government. People got to, I don't know, man. They got to. Now, how much money is Canada in debt? $1.8 trillion. So that's almost $2 trillion. Now, how does 36 million people pay off $2 trillion? They can't. Not now, not ever. When you consider we don't produce anything here. Like, what happened to all the people that were working in the factories and the manufacturing companies and that? What happened to them?
They're making ammunition, guns, and jeeps for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, some are, but the majority of them, not the majority maybe, but an awful pile of them, ended up in all these new bureaucracies that were created. So, you know, while the working population in this province is a little over 7 million, when you figure in all the people who are getting a paycheck who produce nothing, you know, you may have 7 million people in the workforce in Ontario, but I'm thinking you probably, maybe if you're lucky, got 5 million who are actually producing something. No, it's not even that high. You know, we have a bureaucracy that keeps growing, and we have service industry. Most of what goes on in this country would be classified now as service industry, pushing paper around. But that doesn't produce any wealth. It just produces a lot of paper, but it doesn't produce anything. It doesn't produce anything that can be sold to anybody. So, you know, your actual debt load for the working stiff is extremely high. And, you know, like Doug Ford says, well, we're going to, through efficiencies, which is a word that's misused all the time, because every time you use the word efficiency, you end up getting slammed. But he says he's going to find $6 billion in efficiencies, but at the same time, he's not going to lay anybody off. Can't lay anybody off, because if he said that, then he wouldn't get the vote. So, but that bureaucracy staying there, because that bureaucracy is what's pushing all the paperwork for the internationalists. So for all you people that think Doug Ford is your white knight on a white horse, you're about to be freaked right out by this guy, because he got no plan. The only plan he has is the plan that's put in front of him. It ain't his plan. It ain't a conservative plan. It's a UN plan. So I see they're really taking some serious swipes at Wynn now and pushing Ford forward. And as your savior. But you're going to be not too happy with what gets not accomplished through the Ford Nation. So people got to wise up somehow. Don't know how exactly, but well, I do know how. They need to step up to the plate, you know.
There was actually a comment on CBC, Communist Broadcasting Corporation. Somebody actually, I don't know how it slipped through, but somebody's asked the question, if you can't vote Liberal and you can't vote Progressive Conservative and you can't vote NDP, what are we supposed to do? And then below that, somebody said, try the Libertarian Party. And I don't know how that got through, but it got through. And that was it. I mean, there was no more after that. But I thought, wow, how did that get in?
Yeah, that's kind of, what time of day was that?
Sleep at the wheel, I think. When that
what time of day did you hear that?
Oh, it was when I read the news every morning before I go to work. And it was.
Well, see, this is what freaks me out about CBC. I've heard things in the past, early morning on CBC radio, that you never hear again the whole day. You know, the one that really strikes me is the H1N1 thing. Got up early in the morning, I don't know, it was maybe 6:30, and in the truck, I turned on CBC radio, and the guy calls in about whether or not CBC or the media in general overplayed the H1N1 threat. And the guy from CBC says, don't look at us. We only go with the script that's handed to us. And I thought, holy crap. I got to listen to this again, but never heard it again. Right? And obviously, because when you said you heard that quip about the Libertarian Party, I'm thinking, did you hear this early in the morning or something? Or in the middle of the day?
No, it was before work.
Yeah. So
it was about 6 o'clock in the morning.
See, it seems like they got a guy on CBC that spits out a little truth every now and again early in the morning, but you don't hear him again all day. Like they don't, you know how they repeat the news all day. I would imagine that was the only time that got said, which is kind of interesting, right? I don't know what I'm going to do in this election because, you know, I've been thinking about it and I got a bad feeling. I'm just going to call these people out so much it's going to hurt their feelings. You know, I'm that pissed when I'm sitting there with the liberals, the conservatives, the NDP, and the green people. I don't think I'm going to be able to be too kind. You know, I think I'm probably going to upset them a little bit. Because I'm just going to call them out. I think that's my job. Or I'll do that the first one. I'll do that and see how it flies. And
wonder if they'll let you on a live debate.
If what?
If they'll allow you on a live debate. You know, like...
Well, last time I ran...
Cameras, and you're one of them? That kind of debate?
Well, we did that at a radio station last time. With the candidates, which was kind of interesting. And I mean, all the, I forget how many all candidates meetings we do here. It's a fairly large area. And the all candidate meetings are, you know, I had a bit of fun in those things, you know, because all the parties stay on the same track, right? And I just don't go on that track. I just go on a sort of other track over here and embarrass the snot out of them and keep poking at them. You know, it's like the NDP candidate said last time, you know, he said he wanted to shake my hand at the end of it. And I went, why? And he says, well, if you hadn't run, no issue of any importance would ever seen the light of day. And you took the real issues and threw them on the table and had us dancing since the get-go. Well, I didn't think I was being that hard on them the last time, but I think I will be pick it up quite a bit this time because they really are stupid people. I mean, you really got to sit at the same table as these bozos. And, you know, they give you questions from the audience, and most of them now are you know, they're pretty well screened. They don't want any question going to the candidates that might screw them up. They just want to keep on certain subjects, and that's it. And when I went through those all, I was just absolutely amazed at how totally stupid these candidates are. I mean, they're as dumb as a box of rocks, and it's so easy to mess with them because they don't know anything. You know, so, yeah, I'm going to have a little bit of fun. I'm going to have a whole lot of fun with them. And then I'll get to watch the Masons. I enjoyed that last time. I mean, every single place that we spoke at, Masons would walk the back wall of the community center or whatever we were at, and they would never take their eyes off me. They just walk back and forth at the back of the room and just focus their eyes on me, just stare at me, right?
Like a threat.
Yeah, like a quiet threat, the Masonic quiet threat, right? Which I found rather comical. you know. It's, but then it's no different, right? Because, see, all they do all their work in the back rooms, you know. And it's the same thing as when I go in a grocery store. I mean, you go in the grocery store and the Muslims are driving you nuts. I go in the grocery store and if I run into, or not I run into them, but I mean, if a counselor from town here spots me, they go into panic mode. I don't have to say anything to them. I don't even have to look at them. They just go into freaking panic mode. Oh, Christ, Ron's here. I got to get out of here, right? You know, they're scared shitless. That's what I keep saying. These people, they're taking us down from the inside, are scared shitless. The only time they're brave is when with their own. You know, when they're scheming in the back rooms at the councils and that, municipal halls and that. These people are scared shitless of the public. Now, the whole point is you get more public to understand what's going on, and these people ain't ever going to go to the grocery store again. I've had counselors walking down the street, down the main street, and I'm walking up the main street, and they spot me, and they'll run out in front of a car to get across the road. I mean, they do not want to speak to me. And I don't yell at them. I never yell at them. They just know that I know, and they don't want to confront it. So when they're that frightened, the whole idea is to get more people informed, and because they are scared. They are most definitely scared of getting caught because they know exactly what they're doing is destroying their own towns, communities, province, country. They know what they're up to. And if people on the street, if they knew that the people on the street knew what the hell they were up to, they would never show their faces. And they don't normally, you know, show their faces unless they're in a position of where they're in control of it. You know, like you can go to the town hall or go to the municipal meetings and they're in control of it there. And they'll have you dragged out or they'll attempt to intimidate you or blow you up. But when they're out in the public, they don't have that. They're out there on their own. And they are afraid of anybody that knows what's going on. So we just need people to shine the light on them. That's what they're like, cockroaches. You know, you got a dark room in the city and it's got cockroaches. You go in and throw the lights on or get a flashlight and shine in the corner. Them cockroaches will scatter like no tomorrow looking for a place to hide. And this is no different than a politician. Scared shitless. You know? They know they're lying to the public. But when they're all lying, then the people don't seem to catch on it. You know? Like when you have all the main parties lying to the people, in the same basic vein with a little different verbiage, but people don't seem to catch on to that. So I don't know. We'll just see what happens here. But I think it's going to be extraordinarily uncomfortable for these people. I certainly won't be uncomfortable, but I do believe that the other candidates are going to become very, very, very uncomfortable very quickly. You know, there's nothing they can say that I can't squash. Right? You know, like once we got the amount of knowledge we got, they can squirm and deny all they freaking want. But they can't win at it. They can't win any debate. You know, we throw them under the bus every single time. And they got no comeback. So that's the whole message that has to get out to the people, that these politicians are scumbags. And I'm going to take a hard shot at it. I'll know after the first one where it can and can't go. I know I can't badmouth David Suzuki. I badmouthed David Suzuki at a all candidates meeting. I wasn't running the election. I just went up to the microphone. And they were yammering on about how great David Suzuki is and everything. And I called him out. And, you know, I got looking around in there and everybody went ape shit on me. And I thought, man, it's a good thing we have gun laws here, because I might have got shot. You know, these people that, you know, it's that old thing. Once people, accept the lie as a truth, they'll hug that damn lie. And anybody that tries to tear the lie away from them, ooh, look out. These people were extremely in ugly mood because I called out David Suzuki. And apparently you're not supposed to do that because it ruffles their feathers because, well, David's our hero, which just shows you how ignorant most people are. So we'll probably stay away from David Suzuki a little bit. But I'll be going after both the provincial and the federal level, so people understand that they're being hoodwinked. But I don't know, we'll see. See what happens. It'll be fun, I guess. Got to do something.
When do you start with this, Ron?
When do I start? I've had so much on my head here lately that it's got kind of put on the back burner. I'll probably start around June 8th or so. I think the election's on the 7th. So I'll be out campaigning after the election's over.
Oops.
I don't want to ruffle any feathers, right? So, no, I got to get at it soon. I got a website pretty much put together. And, I can't put a .com on it because I have to pay for that. And you can't do anything that you pay for. So we'll just run that up as a page. And, I'll put a Facebook page up on it, but I haven't put anything on it yet. So in the next couple of days, likely I got to get that paperwork in yet. And then we go, right? I'll start putting stuff on the Facebook page and that. And I'll just put, I wonder if I can find that clip. I doubt it, eh? I really doubt all that thing. Because I went looking for the one about the H1N1 and I couldn't find it. Let me just take a boo, because like if I could find that clip, CBC radio, vote, I would freak if that would pop up. I doubt I'll ever find that. But if I could find it, it would be great. CBC says, vote libertarian. Hot damn. You know, so I got an email or something, and they said they have candidates, I think, for all of the districts. A lot of them, I think, are mail-in candidates, but nonetheless, and I really haven't talked to anybody from the Libertarian Party for the last little bit, we'll get back at. Oh, did you see that thing, Chris, about they want to lower the voting age to 16?
Yeah.
So you know, people are saying, well, it's a good idea. And you know, like, it takes 2 seconds, right? This is what people don't understand. They think that the parties here, be it provincial or federal, are pushing for this lowering of the age to vote, you know. And I punched in you know, lower the voting age to 16. I put in UN, what the hell UN agency did I put in? But I got the wrong one. It's actually UNESCO, which is education and heritage and stuff. And so, you know, people think that the Liberal Party or the NDP party or whatever party is pushing for lowering the age to 16. Again, it's just a freaking directive. It's a template. It all spawned, again, out of the UN agencies. Because we're basically under their directives now. We do as our politicians do, as the UN wants them to do. And the UN wants them to lower the rate to 16, and that's what's happening all over the frickin' world. But the news doesn't say that. They say, oh, well, you know, here in Canada, maybe we should lower the rate to 16, or the voting age to 16. But they don't tie it to anything. I think that the people that watch the news and that think that this is a national thing or a provincial thing that was thought up by some political people here just in this country. This is a directive directly from the UN through UNESCO. Now, why do they want to lower the age to 16? Simple. Because those are the people who have been propagandized so hard, believing that you old white people are still trying to destroy the planet, and only us young people understand the peril of the planet, and the more 16-year-olds they can get voting across the world. Now, this is all going to turn into a world vote, world referendums. And when they've gathered up enough young people who, you know, don't have any anything at stake.
And don't know any better.
Then you're going to start getting international votes, which are going to be entirely negative to the general population. And the young people don't have anything at stake, so they don't have anything to lose. And they have no clue what they're up to. And so they become the voting for the international agendas. And then you, like I think what you said that before, that you put them from basically 1 year old to, what is it, 25 free drugs?
Yeah.
So you drug the kids, you propagandize the kids, and then you get them to vote
based on what you've taught them through the education system.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And so the internationals...
I have a 60-year-old son. He's been on your show once.
Yeah, yeah.
He's pretty smart, but he's pretty dumb at the same time. He believes global warming is man-made.
Well, it is man-made.
Sure it is.
Well, they made it up.
Well, that...
I did that a long time ago. I put out a thing that kind of pissed some people off on my blog. I put up a heading, you know, global warming is man-made. Well, they made it up, right? You know, it's a complete total fraud, but they made it up.
Repost that one. I like that.
Yeah. So in that sense, it's man-made. It's a man-made fraud. You know, like I find it difficult because when we had Christian on the show, he's a pretty sharp guy. But see, you got to understand from the day he was born up to the age he is now, what, 15?
16.
Every day in that school has been propaganda.
Yep.
And it's the old story. You isolate someone. And you can tell them black is white and white is black, and eventually they're going to believe it. And then you'll tell them, no, I'm sorry. Black is black and white is white. But they'll fight it. Because once they've accepted that lie for truth, it is extremely difficult to let go of the lie and accept the truth. So they will go on and tell you black is white and white is black because that's what you propagandize them to believe. And... yeah, I mean, a kid as sharp as Christian to think that man-made global warming is a real problem.
Well, it's a heavy push, eh?
Huh?
It's a heavy push. I mean, it's something he's been indoctrinated into heavily,
right,
since kindergarten.
Exactly.
It's hard to make him understand that that's also a lie.
You know, he probably watched Captain Plant.
Okay, you guys call everything a lie. And I say, son, yes.
Well, that's what, you know, people say that to me, too. They'll go, well, everything we were told was a lie? Pretty much, yeah.
Yep.
And that's very difficult for people to accept, right? And but it's true.
It is.
Oh, but they put your children in front of the TV before they ever get to school. Like, there's 4 or 5 years before they ever go to a school. And they're watching Captain Planet, and they're watching this and that. And I remember the Teletubbies or whatever the hell they were called, or Smurfs, or whatever it was.
But
Teletubbies.
There was one faggot on that one.
Well, there was always windmills spinning in the background.
Yeah.
Right? So by the time the kids get to school, they know what these windmills are. They've seen them. And so when the teachers tell them that we need wind farms to save the planet, the kids don't have a problem accepting it, all right? So they're pre-propagandized before they ever get to school to accept what the message of the school is. Very, very dangerous. And all the parents out there have to be totally aware of that.
I got to tell you something, Ron. I don't know if I don't want to get off topic, but...
Oh, we don't got a topic tonight.
Okay, well, there's something on UCY about a guy found guilty of a hate crime for a joke video of his dog doing the Hitler salute.
No way.
I was on your show, I think, a year or more ago, where I told you my son has done the same thing. My elder son, not Christian, my elder boy, Tyler, trained our dog to do the Hitler salute. Well, this guy's got, if he's found guilty, he's going to do prison time.
For a hate crime.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, are they gonna euthanize dog, gas it, or what are they gonna do?
I don't know. I have to isolate it and keep it away.
I told Tyler, I said, you gotta go into hiding, son, because
well, the dog will be banned from the dog park because he may go in and influence other dogs. And that could be a problem. But yeah, I'm still getting over this show we did on Sunday. I'm still doing some background checking and whatnot, and I'm going to see where we go with that. I got to sort a few things out, and I'm not a real happy camper, but I'm going to hear music about right now, I think. So thanks for calling in, Chris. I'm really tired today, man, oh, man. So thanks for calling in, and... we'll be back Thursday night, same place, same time, right here on UCY.TV. And remember, there's also a donate button here on UCY.TV somewhere. So, you know, keep this little network running. Jules bust her butt, and so do the hosts, to bring you the information that is required. And nobody's getting paid out of this, but there's a lot of technical stuff that Jules looks after in that, and the network and the cost. And so, you know, please hit the donate button and donate what you can, because you're donating to a good cause. And, you know, we got to keep these messages going. So I hear music. We're out of time. Thank you very much, Chris. Thanks, Liz. Thank you for buying. And we'll talk to you. Take care, buddy. I'm out of here. I'll be out of time.
Social slime, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the more.